guys, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We're here talking some Alabama baseball, as usual. Let's start off in the beginning of the week. So first of all, our game against UAB was canceled due to inclement weather, unfortunately. Really unfortunate, because we had talked about on the podcast how great of a venue Regents Field was, so hopefully they can get that one rescheduled for the Tide, and we can still get that true Birmingham classic feel. But nonetheless, we played Troy on Wednesday. Cooper, give us your thoughts on this win against Troy.
Well, this is one of those things where I'm happy to be wrong, Brandon. And I remember last podcast I said, you know, we're coming home from Birmingham. You know, not a tough game, but still a game against UAB. We'll be tired. And none of that happened. So thank God for rain, you know, as the old song says. And we came out, we just demolished Troy, 9-1. Six runs in the third inning. It just looked like a good Alabama baseball team, the team we know they can be. And it's a good overall win.
Yeah, can't disagree with you there. Austin, what were your thoughts on this game?
For sure, Cooper, and definitely like we talked about last week, I thought this was going to be a close-fought game, and pleasantly surprised and pleasantly wrong. So, you know, cruising to a 9-1 win, got the bats moving really heavy. You know, my man Zane Denton just really showing out in this midweek game, and just, you know, really got good also to see Connor Shamblin, you know, pitch a really good game during the middle of the week, kind of get a pitcher in that's, you know, not going to be our top three guy, not going to start on the weekends, but being able to get some experience and show out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Austin. I was about to say something about Connor Shamblin. You know, it's really nice to see that we could get that kind of pitching on a midweek game. The one guy I do want to talk about, and I think we'll hit on probably several times throughout this podcast, is Peyton Wilson. I mean, in the leadoff spot, what a tear this kid is on. You know, another home run in this game, and we'll talk about him more as we got later into the week against Charleston, but man, this kid's on a roll. I mean, just cannot stop hitting. And what a great leadoff batter too. I mean, not only is he providing the hits we need from that spot, but you know, hitting home runs from the leadoff spot is something that's very rare in baseball for a lot of teams. So to see Peyton Wilson come out here and really produce for us out of that one spot really gives me some good visualization for some success in SEC play coming up.
Definitely, Brandon. I mean, says it right here. It was a 1-0 count when he launched that homer in the bottom of the first. Nobody on, nobody out. He was the first guy up there. Just second pitch you saw, launched it to the left field. So just love to see that. You know, he went on to score a couple more runs. You know, give him a couple more hits, and just he's been a great guy. He was great throughout the series, especially on Sunday, which we'll get to, that whole, you know, record-breaking game on Sunday. But
yeah,
we talk about Diodati and Prater a lot. You know, we also got to acknowledge, you know, Wilson, another great player, you know, who could probably star on any other team.
Yeah, absolutely right. So moving ahead into the week, we did travel to Charleston. We kind of knew Charleston's not the best team, but going into Friday's game, getting an 8-0 victory, what are we thinking about this? Austin, I'll go to you.
I think this was a good weekend for us. You know, we'll get into later, kind of dropping one in the series on Saturday. But I think we definitely came off to a good start on Friday. You know, Tyler back on the mound. 8-0. I mean, you know, we're seeing what we want to see. We're seeing good pitching on the mound going as we're getting closer to SEC play. You know, I really like that moving forward for us, that we're getting these good pitching starts. We're getting these good guys on the mound that are having good outings. And, you know, I mean, the offense really was on a tear on Friday, just as it was against Troy, and, you know, closing out on Sunday for sure. But, you know, I think it's really good. Kind of like what you guys are talking about. You know, we've got our guy in the leadoff spot performing for us. We've got Denton performing for us. You know, we've got three or four guys on this team that are really making really strong outings. And I think it's a good thing moving forward.
Yeah, exactly like you said. I mean, there's that man again, Peyton Wilson, on an 0-1 count in the third inning, hits a home run down the left field line. You know, I just really liked how the offense is starting to pick up, how we're starting to hit. You know, we knew that this team is a huge threat on offense, especially with the home run ball. But, you know, just a great game. And I feel like we have to highlight one of the most absurd catches I've ever seen in a baseball game, that I don't think we've highlighted yet, by Andrew Pickney. I don't know if you guys saw that highlight, but I have never in my life, this was against Troy, but I've never in my life seen someone go up to rob a home run. It hits their glove, and as it's hitting their glove, the glove hits the wall, glove and ball and glove, pops up, and then he continues to catch it for now. I was watching this game, and I was completely and utterly confused when that happened.
That's just one of those unexplainable great plays that will make Jumbotrons for the next decade.
Yeah.
In between innings when they're all like, here are some wacky baseball highlights. That's got to be up there, you know, for decades.
Yeah. I mean, it was just insane. Never seen anything like it, ever. But really cool to see. But getting back on track, Austin kind of hinted to this. So Saturday, Alabama goes in, loses a tough one, 1-0. Cooper, what did you see in this one?
It's tough. You know, this didn't look like the Alabama team that we know. You know, they came into the game, or we came into the series ranked at 23 in the nation, and it's just quiet. Just the bats were quiet. Great pitching by Charleston. Well, I'll say that Ty Good, 5 scoreless innings, struck out 5, only giving up 4 hits. Just really good, solid pitching from the Cougars. But, you know, you're going to drop one here and there. I thought this was a series we could have swept, made it 3-for-3 on the series sweep this season. But at least we got the win on Sunday to win the series. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say is just Cougars played well.
And yeah.
You're going to drop a couple here and there.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely happens in baseball. And, I mean, not to overshadow, I mean, Dylan Smith ended up giving up the only run in the game in the home run, but regardless, pitched seven innings, you know, gave up 4 hits and had 10 strikeouts. On any other day, that's a really, really, really good outing. And we continue to talk about Dylan Smith being probably one of our better starters now.
I think one thing to touch on, guys, too, is not exactly that we weren't getting hits, you know, but we left a lot of guys stranded on base. So it was the season high of 13 runners stranded on base, and that's including runners in scoring positions in 5 separate innings. So, you know, just not that we're not getting guys on base, but that we weren't able to make those and convert those into runs is really what I feel like hurt us on Saturday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you both hit it on the nail, leaving people on. The bats didn't show up. Just an unfortunate one, but some, you know, that's baseball, especially college baseball. You know, some nights you don't have it. And even when everything else is going well, you don't hit well, you're going to lose games. And that's, you know, that this loss really didn't say anything to me in regards to overall performance. I just think, unfortunately, they had the better guy that night. So it is what it is. And we drop one on Saturday. But nonetheless, the Tide responded, and in a big, big way on Sunday. Cooper, you want to take us through a record-breaking Sunday afternoon for the Crimson?
I would love to. So let's just get out of the way. We won 21-3. I went back on RollTide.com, went through all the seasons to find a game when Alabama scored more runs than that. I found 2 games. They tied at 21 runs on April 9th, 2019 against Samford. So that tied for the most runs scored under head coach Brad Bohannon. We won that game 21-2. The last time we scored more than 21 runs, you have to go all the way back to 2007 in a game against Troy when we won 22-4.
Wow.
So this was the most runs scored in 14 years. We're tied for the most runs scored in 14 years. Most runs scored in 2 years. So just let that sink in. I mean, everything was clicking, especially in that third inning. 10 runs. Owen Diodati hits another grand slam this season. That's two on the season. Give him the MVP now, folks. Like, that's crazy. They even changed pitchers this time. At McNeese, they just had a conference on the mound. They stuck with their guy, and Diodati hit it out of the park. This time, Charleston switched the pitcher, and it didn't matter. Diodati still launched it out of here. And that made it 7-0. We still had 14 more runs to score. So, Austin, what do you think? I've been going on a lot about this game.
It was definitely good to see. And, you know, kind of what I've touched on, been wanting to see for the entirety of the season is getting other guys involved in these games before we make it to our big games later on in the season. And to see 13 out of 14 players get a hit was really good too. You know, everybody was getting involved. It was a great performance by a lot of these guys sticking out. Diodati, for sure, that you mentioned. But we're also got performance across the board from a lot of different guys. And that was great to see.
Yeah. Once again, I want to talk about Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson's now on, I believe it's a 7-game hitting streak for Peyton Wilson. Which again, a leadoff guy. Like, what is your job as a leadoff guy? Get on base. Simple as that. There's nothing else you have to do. And when you're on a 7-8-game hitting streak, I mean, that's doing it. So obviously Dio hitting the grand slam was awesome, but like you said, 13 out of 14 players getting hits, putting this number up, just huge for the Crimson Tide. You know, Antoine John, another win for, you know, a win for him, 5 innings pitched. He looked good. I'm starting to like him in that late, late window of the series. I think he's a reliable guy. And I think that's, you know, when we pitch him, we open a lot of our bullpen. Obviously, some of our top guys like Dylan, Connor Prelip, other guys like that are going to go a little bit longer. But John went 5 innings and allowed our bullpen to come in and take down the rest of the game. I really liked that. I really did. So, you know, obviously, you know, Eli Giles comes in, gives up the 3 runs. But he's a young guy. He's a freshman. Not really worried there. I was just I really liked our pitching. I really like Chase Lee coming in to close out games. I'm starting to get a lot more trust in him. So overall, this was a great win for the Crimson Tide.
It was 17-0 when Eli came in.
And right.
It's fine. Throw the freshman there. He gives up 3 runs. Who cares? You know, he got some game experience. But I'm liking Guffey, too, as a reliever as well. He came in 1 inning, only 1 hit. Struck out 2. He's been one of those closers for this first part of the season. I'm really liking the combo of Guffey and Lee. You know, you get those two guys around the 7th, 8th inning, you're not scoring runs, you know.
Yeah.
The other team is just not scoring on those two pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, again, Eli comes in 17-0. He's a freshman. He's got some good stuff. You know, no one's faulting him for that. I think it's a perfect time to put someone like him in. Let him get that experience. You know, I didn't see anything wrong. I just think, you know, he's a young guy. It is what it is, and it's going to happen. And, you know, not everyone can be perfect to start. And I think what we saw from this game was a lot of guys getting in and showing the potential for the future, which I like as well.
And I think another thing to touch on, guys, is we got a lot of small ball played in this game. You know, we've had a lot of home runs hit early on in the season, which is great, but that might not always be there as we move further on to the season. And to see a lot of these runs scored in by walks and doubles, and, you know, to see more play inside the field and how our team's reacting to that, I think is a really good sign.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Austin. So with that, that has been This Week in Bama Baseball. When we return, we will be talking look ahead and what we are going to do next, who we're playing next, upcoming little bit of the series this weekend with Stetson, and a lot more. So stick around. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back with Right Field Roundtable Podcast.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We're back here in part two, detailing what lays ahead in the next week for the Crimson Tide. We start off this Tuesday back in Tuscaloosa playing South Alabama. What are we thinking, boys? What do we like about this South Alabama game?
I think this is a pretty easy win. You know, South Alabama's coming in here. As we, as I referenced back to last podcast, just continuing the tour of Alabama universities for our midweek games, Troy, Jacksonville State, UAB, now South Alabama. You know, I think this is an easy game, a game where we can get some young guys in, give them some experience, and just come out the other side with another W.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think this is a good opportunity to get young guys in. I think this is an easy win. Always good to be playing baseball at home, especially as the weather's getting nicer and nicer down here in D-Town. So this will be a nice afternoon, a good game for the Crimson Tide, and we'll definitely see what happens. Austin, any thoughts on the game?
I think y'all are all right in what you said. I think it's going to be a good, easy win for us during the midweek. And you're coming up. We got two games at home this week. You know, I'm like having to go to Jacksonville State in the past. So I think it's going to be a good, restful midweek for us to be able to get some good guys in to get some experience.
100% agree with you. So let's get a score prediction here for this Tuesday game. I'll start. I'm going to go with a 9-2 victory for the Crimson Tide. Coming off the early bats before everybody gets subbed in, you know, we'll jump out to an early lead and then kind of cruise in.
Cooper? I'll do one run lower than you. I'll do 8-2. But, yeah, coming out early, swinging the bats, just swinging hot. Peyton Wilson extends his hitting streak. That's my prediction.
I like it. Awesome.
I'm going to go 6-1, but I like to see Denton, and I think he's going to have a good game. I think the bats are going to be moving for sure, but keep a little bit closer.
I like it. All right, next up, like you said before, Austin, Jacksonville State travels to Tuscaloosa now. We beat them in the first matchup. You know, I see more of the same in this matchup. Although they played us kind of tough, you know, I like the Crimson Tide here, and I'll go a nice 5-1 victory.
Yeah, I'll hop on that train. I'll do you one better instead of one lower. Last time, I'll do you one better, 6-1. You know, we don't have to travel. That's my main concern with these midweek games is maybe going somewhere on Tuesday and coming back, having to play someone on Wednesday. With two straight home games, I think this is just easy wins for Alabama. And Peyton Wilson extends it to 9.
I like it.
To 9, yeah.
I think that's a good prediction, guys, for sure. But I'm going to give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt here. I'm going to go 4-1. Just keep it a little bit closer. This is going to be our Wednesday game. We've played them at home for them. You know, they're going to have a little bit of knowledge about us. I think they're going to keep it a little bit closer.
Fair enough. I like that. Moving into the weekend series against Stetson. Austin, I know you had a little cool fact about Stetson that we were talking about when we did the pre-show research.
So Stetson is actually named after the founder of the cowboy hat, the university. It's a major benefactor. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I would like to see the guys on the field in Stetson cowboy hats. Probably not going to happen, but I mean, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool. But
that'd be an interesting look for a baseball team. That would certainly be a little interesting, but they are called the Hatters. So that's why we had to bring that up. So starting off on Friday, we got a nice little 6 p.m. under the lights in T-Town. Somewhat rare on a Friday night, but we like to see it. So Friday night, 6 p.m., what are we thinking, guys? Stetson, 10-3 team, pretty good. We got some decent wins, so.
They're 10-3. As we were looking at in the pre-show, have swept two straight four-game series, one against Florida A&M and one against North Alabama. They're coming in pretty good. They're coming off a sweep against South Florida, and my guess is they're playing Florida on Wednesday, so they'll be coming off another loss there too, because the Gators are just really good. So they'll be a little angry, they'll be a little hungry, a little mad. But if we got Prelip on the mound, I'm going with Bama all the way. You know, he's just on fire right now. The whole team is on fire. I'm going to go 7-3 victory. Peyton Wilson extends his hitting streak to 10. And that's my prediction for the Friday game.
I agree, guys. You know, I think Prelip is just doing great so far. He's going to have another outing on the mound this weekend on Friday. Like kind of touched on, you know, I mean, it is hard to win a four-game series, two of them so far. You know, they've swept four games. But for sure, coming off of these last three losses, and then I think you come off of a midweek beatdown suffered at the hand of the Florida Gators. I think the morale is going to be a little low. I think we'll take it on Friday for sure. I'm going to go 8-1, Bama.
Yeah, I like what you guys are saying here. Prelip, I almost, you know, with SEC play just right around the corner, I would like to see Prelip maybe extend later into the game than we've normally seen him. Normally gets out of there fifth, sixth inning. But if he's rolling, I'd like to see Bo leave him in a little bit longer just to see how long he can go right before we get into that play. But I agree with you. I think this is going to be a win for Alabama. This is going to be probably like a 7-1 win. Bats are going to be going, and I agree with you. Peyton Wilson continues his streak into Saturday. And speaking of Saturday, we come back with a 2 p.m. first pitch against Sutton in Alabama. You know, what are we thinking for this Saturday game? Obviously, lately, we haven't done too well on Saturday. So is there concern this weekend? What are we thinking?
Here's my concern is we'll throw out Dylan Smith again on Saturday, and the exact same thing will happen. We'll lose a 1-0 game. Dylan will pitch almost perfectly, give up one mistake, and it'll cost us like a 1-0, 2-0 game. Peyton Wilson's hit streak ends on that Saturday. Calling it now. It's a terrible thing. I know, fans, it's a terrible thing, but Nostrakoupis is here, and he's saying that the hit streak extends till Saturday. And yeah, I'm predicting a loss here, you know. Can't all be perfect. 3-2 loss. Peyton Wilson goes hitless.
All right. Awesome.
I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt here, guys. I think, you know, us coming off of last weekend, I think you really have to put into the picture also, this is a road game. It's a road series. Not used to that this early in the season, you know, and just kind of being a little off guard on that Saturday, just middle of the series and just, you know, a little bit out there. So Dylan Smith's going to be on the mound. I think he's definitely going to pitch great for us again. But I think that our bats are going to be able to move a little bit better this Saturday than they were able to last week. I'm going to go 4-1, Bama.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be closer, but I am on the side of Austin. I think we are going to win this game, but they're going to make us earn it. And my prediction is this is going to go past 9. I agree with you that Dylan Smith is going to pitch almost semi-perfectly, but I think he's going to give up one mistake. And I think we're going to have to fight late to get to you know, rectify that mistake and eventually win it. We do like winning it on walk-offs and extras here in Tuscaloosa, as we've seen this season. So I'm going to go with our hero again. Peyton Wilson, no, but Zane Denton, yes, winning with a solo home run in the 12th. Alabama wins 2-1. I know that's really specific, but hey, we're trying to get popular out here. Sometimes you got to be a little crazy.
Exactly. You got to make crazy predictions.
Like, sometimes. Hey, Stephen A's been making a career off of it for how many years now? We want in on some of that.
Over 20 or something like that.
Yeah, we want in on some of that. So yeah. Moving into Sunday, 1 p.m. first pitch. What are we thinking on the final game of this series?
Sundays have been our strong days. We've been finishing strong in all these series this whole season. I think we don't score 21 runs again. You know, you can only break the record once. But I think we have a really strong performance. I'm going to go 10-1. Diodati gets a homer. Denton gets another, if we're listening to Brandon's prediction. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun day on Sunday to go down to the ballpark, see the long ball, see some short ball being played, and we come out with a 10-1 victory.
I like it. Awesome.
I'm going to go 9-2, guys. I think we get the sweep here for the weekend, and I want to put a good closing wrap on the weekend before we go next week against the Hogs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is an important game to get before SEC play starts next weekend. I'm going to go 7-0. I like the shutout possibility here, and I think the continuance of being really strong on Sundays, going to Sand. You know, Cooper said that the streak ends on Saturday. I don't think that's true. I think it extends to the weekend, and Peyton gets to 12 games, and we'll continue to follow that after that. So, you know, really excited for this series. I think it's going to be a good test to start, and lead us into, like you said, playing the Hogs in Fayetteville next weekend, which can be a daunting task. So, with that being said, you know, as we preview some SEC play, we'll be back in part three talking all baseball around the SEC, checking out what everybody's been doing and see what everybody's up to a week before we get really into the baseball season. For Cooper and I, we really don't think this, we never thought this day would come, 2 years in the making, but here we are. So when we return, we'll talk
SEC play.
I know, right? It's insane. Yeah. So when we return, we'll be talking about that. Stick around. Thank you for listening to the Right Field Roundtable podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
To the Right Field Roundtable podcast. Now we are talking all things around the SEC as we are 1 week away from SEC play. So let's check in on the competition. We're starting off talking on Tuesday, March 2nd. Obviously, Alabama's game got postponed, but the team I want to highlight is South Carolina. South Carolina beat Winthrop 19-8, and South Carolina's now undefeated. Sneaky team coming out of Columbia, South Carolina is.
That was the game that caught my eye too. 19-8, 19 runs off 16 hits, 4 errors for Winthrop. So they were also taking advantage of some mistakes committed by Winthrop. So may have to watch out for South Carolina. You know, the SEC is just really dangerous all around in baseball. You know, you have 12, 13 teams who can all kick your butt any day of the week. And thankfully right now, we're a part of those 12, 13 teams. It used to be that we weren't. We were on the outside just getting whooped. But it's good to be competitive now. But we have to remember the SEC is very competitive. And, you know, anything can happen on any day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Austin, did anything else catch your eye other than that South Carolina win on Tuesday?
For sure, guys. And South Carolina is definitely a team that I see moving forward that can potentially cause us a lot of problems going down the road. Definitely a team to watch out for. I see Ole Miss against Memphis, 16-4. You know, I think Ole Miss is also a team, you know, we've got coming up, and it's definitely going to be a tough team coming up later on in SEC play.
Yeah, you're 100% right with that. You know, Ole Miss is one of those SEC powerhouses that you got to look out for. And I think they had a full capacity game on Friday. So that was interesting. And we'll talk about that. But moving into Wednesday, obviously got to highlight it. LSU gets past Nichols again. Congratulations, Tigers. It was only by one run, but we're glad you got it done. Good for you guys.
This podcast has just become the anti-Nichols podcast. You know? They beat an SEC team last year, and we congratulate anybody who beats them now.
I don't know if it's anti-Nichols or just like, hey, LSU, remember when you messed up and lost to Nichols?
Yeah.
Didn't happen again, so I guess we'll shout you out. No, but the real game that caught my eye was Kennesaw State beating Georgia 6-4. This game was a blast to watch. 8 hits on both sides, 1 error on each side. It's a pretty evenly matched, but Kennesaw State gets the win in a in-state rivalry game.
Yeah, that was surprising to see, you know. But, hey, we dropped a game this series. It's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And if I'm Georgia, I'm looking at this. This isn't one to be upset about. You got the hits. You just couldn't bring them home.
Yeah, and Kennesaw State is no slump in baseball either. I mean, they're you know, they're name in baseball for sure. So I agree with you. I don't think their stumble here is not anything to be worried about. Cooper, anything else catch your eye on that Wednesday?
Yes, LSU just demolishing Southern. So they had a doubleheader on Wednesday, and they came out and just ripped Southern a new one, beating them 16-1. 16 runs off 11 hits, 5 errors for Southern. So just another kind of sloppy game on the other side, and an SEC team taking advantage. You know, LSU, we were talking about it during the break, just a tricky team to figure out, as we'll get to what happened to them on Friday. You know, sometimes they look like one of the best baseball teams in the conference, maybe even the country right now, with a 16-1 victory. But before that, they eked by Nichols 5-4. So I'm interested to see which LSU team we get when we play them this season. Will it be the Nichols game or will it be the Southern game?
It's absolutely.
Game, easy win. It's the Southern game, we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. Will be interesting to see how LSU progresses throughout the season. But I agree with you. They're probably one of the better teams in the country when they play well. So it'll be definitely interesting. Austin, did anything else kind of stand out to you on this Wednesday of SEC baseball?
Yeah, guys. So, you know, this is part of the season. We're talking about it. The Crimson Tide's been doing it for sure, playing a lot of these interstate midweek games. So kind of touched on Georgia and Kennesaw State was just kind of a shocker. But one that I really want to focus on is Florida's interstate game against FAU on Wednesday. With FAU came out on top 3-2 in 10 innings. So, you know, I think it just kind of goes to show something we've been talking about, a recurring theme of you never know what's going to happen on those games. And you always got to have your eyes open, stuff that we'll need to keep in mind going forward with a lot of our in-state rivals we have coming up this week.
Yeah. And especially with Florida probably being one of those better teams that we've talked about. Cooper's team to probably win the East this year. So again, it's early, it's in-state rivalries, it's midweek games. You're going to lose some of those games, and that's just how it is, you know? So switching over to Thursday, it was only one game, and, you know, Missouri's woes just continuing. Losing the game 3-2 to Dallas Baptist. You know, we talked about how there's normally 12 teams, and then there's two teams on the outside looking in. Missouri is 100% one of the SEC teams on the outside looking in. Just can't seem to get anything going right now.
It makes it worse that was the only SEC game on Thursday.
Right.
You know, most of the times they can, like, hide in these long lists of, you know, we're not starting a conference competition yet, so there are 14 entries on the SEC homepage.
Yeah.
Everyone on Thursday is like, well, we'll take the day off. We'll watch Missouri. And boy, do they disappoint.
Yeah. And
loss in Dallas, or sorry, in Frisco, Texas. So Dallas Baptist was technically the home team. Just sad.
Yeah.
Just sad.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, they dropped to Dallas Baptist again on Friday, 8-0. So yeah, Missouri continues to be in their woes. But switching over to Friday, there was one game that really showed out to me, and this is a team that we know has been extremely good for however many years college baseball seems to exist, Vanderbilt. 15-0 win. They continue to roll. That's just a scary team.
That is. And it'll be interesting. You were talking about East matchups. I can't wait to see the Vandy-Florida matchup. Like, that will be crazy, great, fireworks going off. Can't decide who wins right now, you know, because both teams are just really good. So, but yeah, Vandy getting done over UIC, 15-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Cooper, what stood out to you on this Friday afternoon?
Staying on my LSU monologue, they lost 22-7 to Oral Roberts. I mean, we were pretty impressed by our 21-run performance on Sunday. On Friday, Oral Roberts got 22 on LSU, and it just continues to show. LSU is a coin flip, you know? Who's going to show up? Is it going to be the real LSU or this LSU that gives up 18 hits to Oral Roberts? who's, I don't even know where Oral Roberts is right now. Is yeah. country. I'll look it up, but you lost to a non-location school.
I couldn't even tell you. Oral Roberts University. Tulsa, Oklahoma? There you go.
That you got? Yeah, Tulsa.
Also Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oof.
And after televangelist Oral Roberts.
Yeah, right.
It disappoints me. This is not SEC baseball. Like, we laugh at Missouri. They're keeping it close to Dallas Baptist. They're just having an off year. LSU lost by 15.
Yeah.
2-7. That's the pi ratio. That's 3.14. So it's just crazy, you know. It's bewildering to me. That's all I can say is the LSU team confuses the heck out of me. I don't know who's going to show up on what day.
Yeah, I totally get you with that. Austin, what else kind of showed up to you on this Friday?
Tell you what, Brandon, I'm looking at the Razorbacks come out of this weekend. You know, this is another sneaky team, and it's one that's coming up on us for our first SEC home series, or away series, excuse me. So we're, you know, Arkansas comes into the game 8-0, undefeated, and they beat Missouri State in a close one 7-6 on Friday, but 8 hits between the two teams. But come out and win the series, and they go out of this weekend undefeated. That's going to be a really tough series for us coming up in our first ACC play.
Yeah, you're 100% right with that. You know, so you're right. It's going to be tough to beat an undefeated team. Anyone that's undefeated at this point, obviously doing something right. And being that the next series is away, it will be interesting to see how Arkansas progresses through this week, as is Alabama leading up to that. So, you know, switching gears on to Saturday, we know that we dropped one, and that's going to happen. But what I wanted to look at was Mississippi State lost to Kent State 9-5. Kent State had 13 hits, Mississippi State had 10. You know, I wasn't really expecting to see this. Mississippi State is probably not the first name you think of with SEC baseball, but man, they are definitely one of the SEC baseball powerhouses. Really good program down there. So this was interesting to see Mississippi State now 7-3. This one surprised me. It really did. But like we said, upsets are going to happen, and you know, not to be unexpected. So Cooper, what stood out to you on Saturday, if anything?
I'm going to continue my LSU rant, because they went and beat Oral Roberts 12-0. What is going on in Baton Rouge? I'm going to sound like a broken record. You can't be this flip-floppy. If you're going to succeed in the SEC, you can't be this flip-floppy, because it's not going to work. You're not going to flip-flop against this SEC competition. Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Florida, they're all going to come in and they're going to beat you up if you decide to take a day off and not show up. So it's just, it bewilders me. I can't stand it.
We might want to petition for LSU to change their logo for baseball to just the gif of Michael Scott going snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. Because that's essentially what they're doing.
It is. Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, you know? And if this continues happening, they'll have to change it to the Michael Jordan crying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Man, it's really interesting to see what they're doing. Austin, anything else stand out to you on that Saturday?
Oh, man, guys, hate to say it, but the Auburn Tigers coming out and getting a 16-1 win against Boston College. I think, you know, they're looking better than I would like to give them credit for going to this year, our fellow in-state rivals.
Yeah, and that's after them dropping one to Boston College. So, you know, they came back and they did what they needed to do. So, yeah, like you said, they're looking a little scary to be our in-state rivals. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in that Auburn series, but man, they're starting to look good. They're starting to look good. I will agree with you on that. So, And then, you know, moving into Sunday, obviously Alabama hits, you know, brings in 21 runs. But, you know, the thing that I wanted to talk about was something that we haven't really talked about yet, but Kentucky is kind of just slip sliding in their games. This weekend has been a little tough for them, dropped a couple losses, and they drop on the Ball State on Sunday, 4-3. You know, Kentucky doesn't look bad. I think this is just another one of those upsets that we're going to see throughout the course of the season. But they're another name that we could see on the East really show up. So, again, this year is crazy. But Kentucky does take the loss here, and we'll see how they move forward as they try to take their quest for the East with a star-studded East. So, Hooper, anything stand out to you again? I think I know where this is going.
No, I'm going to change it up because I'm tired of LSU, who, by the way, lost on Sunday to Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts won the series. They meatloafed them, winning two of the three games. But I'm tired of ragging on LSU. I'm going to praise Florida, who beat FAMU 8-0. Shutout's always great to see. I think they're one of the top teams in the East. Well, their record doesn't show it right now at 9-3. That's good for fifth out of seventh place overall in the East. South Carolina and Vandy, and Tennessee, surprisingly, is doing really well.
Yeah.
But Florida scares me, to be honest. I think they're going to be one of those teams to go really far in the SEC tournament. And so I wanted to give them some love on this final day of SEC recap.
Yeah, and Austin, just before you go, hopefully I don't take it, but like we said, with Auburn, Auburn's another one of those flip-flop teams, losing to Boston College 11-9 on Sunday, so they lose the series as well. But Austin, anything else stand out to you other than Auburn? Hopefully I didn't take your take there.
Oh, no, for sure. You know, talking about a lot of these SEC teams flip-flopping, one of the teams, I kind of mentioned Arkansas earlier this weekend, one of the teams that I see, again, South Carolina Gamecocks, we talked about them a little bit. I kind of see them as a dark horse pick for the East, and they win a close one against Mercer on Sunday, kind of surprisingly, 1-0, but holding Mercer to only two hits. So I think they've got some really good pitching going, and just, you know, to see them in a close, really close game to a little bit unknown opponent, it's kind of surprising, but, you know, moving forward as an undefeated team, they're going to be one to beat.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. Arkansas did get their win on Friday as well, or Sunday as well. So they're looking good. So with that being said, you know, I just wanted to take one quick look. Let's look at the standings. Obviously, no one's played a conference game yet, but I just wanted to see where everyone was at in the SEC before we get to next week. So like Cooper and Austin said, South Carolina is standing on top of the East with Vanderbilt close behind. Surprisingly, Tennessee is up there. And Kentucky, Florida, and Georgia fill it out. And then obviously Missouri's at the bottom half or at the end of that. But I see six teams who can win their side of the conference this year. So when there's seven in the division, it's a little tough. And then looking towards the West, you know, Arkansas is on top. Alabama and Ole Miss share the second place with 10-2 records. The Michael Scott of the SEC, LSU, is sitting there in fourth. Mississippi State in fifth, but I think that'll change. And then Texas A&M and Auburn kind of sharing the bottom there, but two teams that are also playing pretty well. So as we look ahead into, you know, a week from now, you know, we're looking into SEC play. So I'm excited.
Very excited. Really excited. Tough draw starting with Arkansas. But the same could be said for Arkansas. They get a tough draw starting with us. So
right. That
would be must-see baseball in a couple of weekends.
Yes, it will be. But, yeah, that's how it kind of shakes down right now. That's been the SEC review. So with that being said, that is the end of our time here on the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We'll be back next week reviewing Stetson's series, the midweek games, talking more SEC as we journey farther into this college baseball season. We've made it past where we made it last year. We did it, folks. Knock on wood as hard as you possibly can there. But we made it past where we have been before and we're journeying into farther waters. So I'm ready.
Very ready. This is episode 3. We weren't here last year.
No, we were not. So that's very exciting for us. So we want to thank you again for listening to the Right Field Roundtable. We'll be back talking more baseball next week. So Roll Tide, let's keep this going.